Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Luke chapter 5. We've been in this teaching series that I've entitled, No More Toil and Toleration, Expect Multiplication. Now we're in the aspect of the teaching where, here's our subtitle for this particular part of the teaching, Renewing Your Mind for Multiplication. Renewing your mind for multiplication. A lot of us, if not all of us, have to allow the Spirit of God to renew our minds because we already have our minds made up about certain things in life. And you got to understand the life giver wants to do more for you, more in you, more through you than ever before. We got to renew our mind. I shared this, a portion of it, this past Sunday. So I pray that you had an opportunity to listen to the Sunday's rebroadcast, because that one will bless you, because that's the first part of this renewing your mind for multiplication. We're just going to look at a short piece of it, glory to God, because we got to renew our mind. Let's look at this. Let's start reading Luke chapter 5. If you have it, say, I have it. And let's start at verse number 1. And it came to pass, I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along in whatever translation you have. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, upon Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto him, said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or for a massive haul or massive manifestation. Verse 5. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. So we've been in this passage of Scripture since the beginning of the year. Somebody would ask, Pastor Mark, you still in Luke 5? Yes, because I'm not through with it yet. We're going to pull all the revelation out of this that God wants us to, because it's going to help us navigate through 2024 victoriously. Amen. We want to grab hold of what he wants us to catch. We want to tap into new territories. We want God to expand us and extend us and equip us for what he has for us. Now, this is what's going to happen tonight. I'm going to share this briefly, but here what I want to do is I want to lay my hands on you, asking the Holy Spirit to jumpstart a mind renewal for multiplication. I did it for them Sunday in Buffalo. I want to do it for you tonight, so that the Holy Spirit now, of course, he's not going to override your will, with your cooperation, is going to help you renew your mind for multiplication, because we're not trained to think that way. We easily accept the negative. We easily accept the inferior. We easily accept things going wrong. We accept that in life as a part of life. You even tell somebody, you say to them, do you think you can win it all? No, you know, you're going to win some and lose some. Even though the Bible says he always causes us to triumph. 1 Corinthians 2:14. What does always mean to you? All the time to me. Always. Infinity. Always. But see, as Christians on earth, we don't think that way. So because we don't think that way, there's something in you that hinders the multiplication factor from taking place for you and through you like God wants it to. And so we settle for addition, and that's not the kingdom. Even though, for example, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But that's kingdom talk. And when it's kingdom, it's not added like one plus one, now you got two, plus one, now you got three. That's not there. When God adds, it's what 2 Corinthians 3:18, 3 and 18, chapter 3, verse 18 talks about. He adds one glory and glory and glory. And I shared with the group, it's like the Richter scale that measures the strength and the impact and force of an earthquake. 4.0 does not mean that if you go to 5.0, it's one more. No, it's multiplied strength between 4.0 and 5.0. And so that's how it works in the kingdom. But we don't think like that. We don't flow and function like that. And God wants us to. He wants to expand our thinking so he can empower our living. Write that down. God wants to expand my thinking so he can empower my living. God wants to expand my thinking so that he can empower my living. So that's why last October he was telling me, Mark, establish this E3 culture with both groups. E3 culture. Bring the people to the understanding of when you're gathering together, you're coming to be empowered. You're coming to be equipped, and you're coming to be elevated. He says, Mark, drive that home because they will approach the things of God with a religious mindset, and many people are satisfied with just doing church instead of allowing God to do life through them his way. For a long time, I was one of those Christians where go to church and on the inside of you, you hit that check box on the inside. Religious duty, done. But I wasn't looking for how I went to church to impact my life the following week. I wasn't looking for church to impact my growth and development. I was looking for religious information until God transformed my life and said, every revelation that I give you empowers you to be something you've never been before. So let's see this. The reason we're in this teaching is because we see the difference between Jesus and Simon Peter. Simon Peter was satisfied going home, tired, weary, and empty. He even said to Jesus, we've toiled all night long. We've been in this teaching so that the Spirit of God can deliver us from a toiling mindset and an attitude of toleration. Whatever you tolerate is what you're willing to put up with or accept. And I've said this before, whatever you accept, you can't take authority over. So when you're in toleration, you compromise your spiritual authority. That's why some Christians will say this, and this is sad, but they'll say this, in the name of Jesus, and nothing happens. Because in the name of Jesus is not an incantation. In the name of Jesus is a declaration of power and authority, watch this, that you've been living by, submitted to. So when you say in the name of Jesus, you're basically releasing you in the statement because you've been submitted to Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus. Every time Jesus come off of our lips, it should always carry weight, authority, and power. And so all we got to do is change the way we think. Jesus, when you see him in Luke 5, he never saw what Peter saw. He didn't see toiling. He didn't see weariness. He didn't see everything Simon Peter said. Jesus saw what the kingdom could do in that situation. That's all we want to do. And when he told them to let down his nets for a draught, and I know I pointed this out to you that the King James Version is the only one that says that Peter said, I let down the net. Every other translation said he said nets, but the King James, and I like the King James because it shows the confirmation of Peter's mindset. We see the difference between the two. And here's the thing that I'm purposing to get you to understand, that God wants us to walk like Jesus walked and not like how Peter walked. So in this situation, we got to allow the Spirit of God to deliver us from a toiling mindset and an attitude of toleration so that we can expect multiplication. Everyone say, my God is a God of multiplication. So here, look back at Luke, verse 4 of chapter 5, Luke 5, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Jesus wanted Peter to see something and experience something he had never seen before and had never experienced before. That's how I am approaching this year. God wants me to see something I have never seen before, and God wants me to experience something I've never experienced before. So I want the new thing that he's doing in this season. And I want to say to you, because you've been sitting under my teaching as I've been teaching this revelation, I want you to understand your days of toiling and tolerating and struggling and stressing, they are over right now in the name of Jesus. That's why I'm going to lay my hands on you tonight, and together we're going to get in a faith agreement for the Spirit of God to jumpstart a mind renewal for multiplication to take place so that your thinking will begin become different, so that your perspective will become different. I read scriptures now, and I have to see where God is saying, I see it, God. There's multiplication in that. Because I said this before, in the scriptures are like this. In the scriptures, when you're reading the Bible, always remember this. The scriptures, in the scriptures are interwoven. It's like threads in the scriptures. There is the thread of faith interwoven in scripture. There is the thread of love, the love of God. In any scripture, it's interwoven in scripture. Even though you may not see the word love, these threads are there because that's the nature of God. There is the thread of righteousness interwoven in scriptures. There is the thread of the wisdom of God, the mercy of God interwoven in scriptures. And there's also the thread of the miraculous as well as multiplication interwoven in scripture. So when you see Jesus operated in this kingdom dynamic called the multiplication factor. He expected God, the Father, to manifest multiplication, and so should you and I. When most Christians hear multiplication, watch this. They think of one or two things. Money or numbers. Then if you talk to others, they'll say money or people. This multiplication factor in the kingdom involves every area that you could ever be a part of in life. So I'm going to show you some things. How should we do this? How should we do this, Lord? Put this down in your notes. Let's put this down in your notes. You ready to write? Watch this. Everybody on a faith call with me? Watch this, y'all. Here we go. Being accepted to God I'm going to say it again so you can do it. So watch this. Being accepted to God and being accepted by God is having the same access to God and all he provides. Here it is again. Being accepted to God and being accepted by God is having the same access to God in all he provides. Let's say it again. Being accepted to God and being accepted by God is having the same access. Everyone say the same access. Is having, watch this, the same access to God and all he provides. So let's say it one more time. You say it with me. Whatever part somebody didn't get, they can write it when they hear all of us say it together. Ready? Let's say it together. Come on. Being accepted to God and being accepted by God is having the same access to God and all he provides. So now look at that statement and ask yourself tonight, are you accepted by God? And what's the answer? Yes. Wait a minute. Did this acceptance come by or come because of anything you did? No. Listen. So you didn't do anything for the acceptance. Jesus did it for you and you got accepted. Wait a minute. And this same acceptance gives you access to God and all God provides. That would include multiplication. I didn't do anything for the acceptance. I don't do anything for the multiplication. It comes with me having access to God. It doesn't cause me to boast or brag or think that I'm better than anybody else. It simply means I'm in the kingdom of God. Can y'all see that? Okay. Let's look at some scripture. Since that stirred you up and made y'all wild, okay, let's look at some let's look at some scripture. Okay, let me show you this kingdom talk. You probably have never seen it like this before, but it's going to bless you. We're renewing our mind now, renewing your mind for multiplication. If not, you're going to operate like Peter, and you're going to accept loss. You're going to accept struggle. You're going to accept toiling. Now listen, there's a big difference. I pointed this out already in this teaching. There's a big difference between toiling and working. Because when Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for haul, he still had to go to work. He still had to go let down the nets. Let them down, pull them in. He still had to do it. But now he's not toiling. He's working in agreement with God. Big difference. Toiling is you take ownership of everything. Working is I understand it's a gift from God and I'm living in agreement with God. Big difference. Toiling is you're burdened by the outcome and you define yourself by the outcome of the situation. Working is my identity is in Christ and I'm working in partnership with God. That's what Adam did. God brought the animals. He downloaded the names to Adam. All Adam did was voice what the name was. They were working together in partnership. No toiling. Adam didn't have to feel like I'm failing. I forgot what I'm supposed to call this animal. I don't know. It looks kind of funny. I don't know what to call it. No, Adam did not toil. He worked. So work is a gift. Toiling is a burden. And toiling means you have taken ownership of everything. Working means I'm in stewardship with everything. You see the difference? Okay, y'all love that so much. Okay. Let's look at this. Let's look at some scriptures now. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1 quickly. We're gonna look at a few scriptures. So I hope you got your Bible page turning finger with you tonight. Or if you've got it on device that you're gonna swoosh and slide real fast. Genesis 1, look at this. And God said, I'm at verse 28. You there? I'm gonna go ahead and read for time's sake. And God, verse 28, Genesis 1, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Go back, look back at the verse again. I want you to see this. And God blessed them. Now, what did he do? Because no matter how many times you talk to Christians about this, they still don't see it. When it said, and God blessed them, he didn't give them something in the natural. He empowered them with his words. And God blessed them. It's important because he said, be fruitful. So the anointing and the blessing of fruitfulness was on man. Multiply. So the anointing and blessing of multiplication is on man. Replenish the earth. The anointing and blessing of replenishment is on man. And subdue. So the anointing and blessing of subduing or overcoming is on man. And then he says, take dominion. The anointing and blessing or empowering of dominion is on man. So now here's what you got to understand. These things just don't fall on you like leaves fall off of a tree. You got to go get it. In other words, you have to appropriate it. You have to activate it. Like this. When you got saved, on whatever day you got saved, were you waiting on God or was God waiting on you? When you got saved. Say it again. Who? Almighty God was waiting on little old you. Salvation was already available. You determined your day of salvation, not God. He had already provided everything that was required for you to experience salvation. But he still had to wait till you came and got it. He had to wait till you wanted to receive it. He had to wait till you wanted to appropriate it, activate it, or access it. And when you did, no matter how you felt, in everyone's salvation, their initial salvation experience is different. Some cry, some shout, some run, and some just stand there. Everybody's in salvation, in their initial experience is different. That's why you can't compare, because everybody's personality is different. Well, do I have to cry? No, because I don't see that nowhere in Scripture. Do I have to shout? No, I don't see that nowhere in Scripture. Do I have to run? No, I don't see that in there. Well, why do they do it? Because they want to. But they accessed it, salvation. They received it, salvation. God met them. Well, then, here's why we got to renew our mind. What's the difference between receiving salvation and receiving multiplication? The only thing that's different is your thinking. Think back. Now, how many of y'all got saved when you was a kid? You were young. Bless y'all darling hearts. Wow. Okay, all right. Wrong group. Everybody on the faith call, all of them here, they got saved as babies. They kids. All right. The rest of us, we struggled a little bit. Struggled a little bit, waited till, you know, got a little older. He had to work on us. The thing that stood in the way was our lack of readiness to receive because we didn't have our minds made up. So what I'm trying to show you is, until you understand the same God who gave me access to salvation is the same God who gives me access to multiplication. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see it any different. It's all part of the kingdom. And he doesn't want you to think that it gives you a right to boast, brag, be prideful. No, just like salvation don't. When I get saved, I should be more loving. I think some Christians didn't get that memo. But anyway, they're still learning. We got to pray for them. They're still learning. So let me show you this. So come on. Go with me. Let's see. Let me give you this because I'm running out of time. So let me give you areas. Let's look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wow. I'm going to give them to you, and you all will hear me teach on them again next Thursday on the faith call. So let's look at areas that can be multiplied. Number one, the Bible talks about multiplied strength. Multiplied strength. I'm going to give you scripture references for this, probably not tonight because I'm running out of time. Multiplied strength. Number two, you ready? Multiplied provision. Multiplied provision. Let me just say this about multiplied strength. This year I turned 62. I'm stronger today than I was a year ago. I'm more, thank you. The rest of them, they're just jealous. But thank you. Now I'm just playing. I'm stronger today. I'm more mobile today than I was a year ago. Now, here's why. Not only am I using my faith, but I'm also listening for the strategy God gives me. And when he tells me to do something, I've learned to stop procrastinating and follow it. See, a lot of us, we listen to everybody else on social media who tells you what to do with your body. Instead of you listening to God and let him tell you how to get your body to function at its best. And so I was trying, you got to see, I'm a former athlete, trying all kinds of things. And I was hurting, feeling stiff, back giving me problems. Hips were giving me problems. I said, the devil, there's a lot. I wasn't used to this much pain. And I said, okay, God, I see. I'm listening to everybody else except you. Now, I'm using my faith. But you can't use, how does faith come? By hearing who? Hearing the word of God. I said, I can't use my faith and say I'm hearing you about this thing, and I'm not even hearing you when you tell me to make an adjustment. I'm not hearing you when you tell me to do a strategy. I'm not hearing you. I said, I've been operating mechanically, and you want me to operate based on revelation. We got a relationship. Amen. So, this ain't got nothing to do with my notes, but somebody want to hear it. I'm listening. I started this little exercise program. It was wearing me out. I said, God, and when I started coming back to St. Catherine's, after they lifted the border crossing, and I started coming back, the day after I leave St. Catherine and get back home, that next day wore me out. I was wore out. I said, what is this? The road wore me out like that? This is not the vision. What's wrong, God? And he told me things I needed to do to add movement to my body. I'm talking about nothing long and drawn out. A 6-minute thing here, a 10-minute thing here. And when I was doing a 6-minute thing, that was hard. And then 10 minutes. And then 15 minutes, a 20-minute thing. All of a sudden, my body is getting stronger. My hips are no longer hurting. No more back pain. No more stiffness. No more, I'm out of time. No more time. Because I was listening. Because he said, son, you have to expect multiplied strength, multiplied provision. Let me give them to you and I'm going to let you go. Number three is multiplied influence. Multiplied influence. Number four, let me know if I'm going too fast. Number four, multiplied wisdom. Multiplied wisdom. Number five, multiplied favor. Multiplied favor. Number six. Number one, multiplied strength. Number two, multiplied provision. Number three, multiplied influence. Number four, multiplied wisdom. Number five, multiplied favor. Number six, multiplied peace. Number seven, multiplied love. Number eight, multiplied glory. And nine, multiplied anointing. Let me just show you two scriptures in closing so you can see. So you can see this. You ready to go here? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me just show you real quick. Now, you've been seeing this in your Bible, but you've never released your faith for it. You thought it was just there for, I don't know, just to fill up the page, I guess. Look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1. You ready? If you have it, say, I have it. Let's start at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I just want to show you something. Watch this. Now, wait a minute. Everyone look here. Whatever is in the Bible for us, we have to release faith for it to receive it in our lives. It won't just happen. Would you all agree with that? Yes. Let's look at this. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone say, that's me. Okay. Y'all got to do that with some excitement. Everyone say, that's me.
That's me.
Come on, my people. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Grace or favor and peace, read, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, he said grace or favor can be multiplied to me. Well, when am I going to access it? Then he says peace can be multiplied to me. Well, I'm not just looking at that as peace as the absence of conflict. I'm looking at peace as his shalom. Wholeness, wellness, well-being. So I got to get my faith wrapped around this. All right? Watch this. Peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how am I going to get this? I have to release my faith and believe for it. He said it's available. And notice this. If Peter hadn't released it upon these Christians, they wouldn't have accessed it neither. He told them, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And every time they read this letter, spoke it over the people. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. All right? Let me show you one more. Where we want to go. Let's look at. Very familiar verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, since I referred to it earlier tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, just to show you. So I pray everyone got those. So you can see when it talks about multiplied provision, next time we're together on a faith call, I'm going to show you how Jesus operated For example, watch this. The miracle of the 2 loaves and 5 fish, the Bible says he received it and blessed it. Now, what does that mean? He blessed it. Somebody said, well, he prayed over it. Well, what did he pray? Now, in Genesis 1, we saw where God, the Father, blessed them, and he spoke fruitfulness over them, or flourishing. He spoke multiplication over them. All of that was in the blessing. Then we'll see, and I already pointed some of these scriptures out to you in this teaching, how when he spoke to Abraham, he says, in blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply you. Somebody will say, well, he meant he's going to give him a lot of kids. Okay, wait a minute. He can't give him a lot of kids and not give him provision for the kids. He can't give him a lot of kids and not give him the physical stature to handle being a patriarch of these kids. All of that is included. But we assumed it only meant one thing. The multiplication factor encompasses so much. Okay, where did I tell you to go? 2 Corinthians 3. Okay, look at verse 17, 18. You know these two verses, but watch it now. See the multiplication factor in this. But now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. Now, I got to ask you a question. Everyone look up here. How many Christians do you know who are not free in whatever area? Some may not be free in their health. Some may not be liberated in their confidence. Some are not liberated in their peace. Statistics say that we have more pill-popping Christians than ever before. Is that the will of God? That they are succumbing to pharmaceutical medication and can't walk in the healing, health, and wholeness that Almighty God has provided? Why can't they access it? Because they're not being taught. So they tolerate medication. And I'm teaching you all, man, I want y'all to fight the whole way. Pastor Mark, you're saying don't take medication? That's not what I said. I said don't tolerate it. So that means even before I even take a pill, in the name of Jesus, I'm using my faith to receive healing. Lord, I receive healing in my body. I thank you right now that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening my mortal body. I receive quickening today for healing in my body, in this area, whatever area is calling it out. And I thank you right now. And now as I just take this medication prescribed by this physician, I'm just following this, but I want you to know my faith is in you. You are the great physician. Can you see a different mindset? Because I'm not relying on this pill to make me well. My faith is still in him who is the great physician. So that's how you have to operate, okay? Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see how quiet it is in here? It always gets quiet when you talk to Christians about their medication. It always gets quiet. It gets real quiet when you talk to them about it. Pastor Mark, you talking about my drugs? They just get real quiet. They just look at you. Come on. Look at verse 18. Now we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from, read, glory to glory. And each level of glory is a multiplied increase. Like the Richter scale, 4.0 to 5.0. Here's the question. What are you seeing in the image that God wants you to see? In that mirror, in that glass, they're changed to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What image is the Spirit of the Lord wanting you to see to be transformed into? And he does it through a multiplied application. I am nowhere near where I was when I first started preaching the word. And it's not because I've gotten older. It's because I've gotten more spiritually hungry. And I want you to understand that God has used everything he has taught you and revealed to you to bring you to this place in your life and in this season. But here's what we do, which is what I was doing. You catch a little revelation, then you go back to acting like you were acting before. And then you take a little stab, a little step forward and a stab at it. And I believe God. And then you go back to acting like you did before. And it's that fluctuation and vacillation that God says, no, that's not it. I need you equipped to the place where you stay constant in the revelation and you don't back off. I need you consistent in what I'm teaching you and you don't let up. And that's when you allow what he's revealing to you to transform you. And that's 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. I am so liberated from what used to trip me up 10 years ago. You ready for this? And I still see some of the same things happening today. It don't have the same effect. I can see past it. It doesn't disrupt my peace. It doesn't steal my joy. It doesn't rob me of my day. I'm not, watch this, I'm not toiling because of what I saw back then and I see it now. I'm at a whole place of rest. God got this. Are y'all following me? That's what he's teaching you. Will you trust me? And I say this to you in closing. God is saying to some of you that I want to show you Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 at another level. You know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. For some of us, it's our understanding that still gets in the way of our confidence in what God has said to us. He said, don't lean on your understanding. Let me take you to another depth. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Him. Not, he says, stop acknowledging what you see in the natural. Stop acknowledging how you feel in the natural. Stop acknowledging what other people are saying in the natural. Stop acknowledging the good, the bad, and the ugly in the natural. Acknowledge me. And watch how I take you to a whole nother level of liberty. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.